We live in a day and a time where that question really, who are you? We live in a day and we're being studied and we're being explained that we're more than willing to tell people who we are. As a matter of fact, it's become a me-ism is the new terminology. And so our culture is being studied in academic circles as maybe one of the most narcissistic cultures known to mankind is us. And that's who we are. And we want people to know who we are. There were two authors, and they were at a party, and so the one author is going on and on about himself, about his latest reviews, and talking about his latest book, and finally he checked himself, and he realized that what he had been doing, so he looked to the other author, and he says, so what about you? And the other author was surprised, taken off guard, and he's about ready to tell him, and the other author said, so what about you? What do you think about my latest book? What do you think about my latest book? I was reading a history book, and they said that Saddam Hussein, on his 54th birthday, was adamant and had everyone flown in, the best performers, and was very went through all this work that to make sure on his 54th birthday that Frank Sinatra's song "My Way" was sang at his 54th birthday. It's become the Sinatra doctrine. I didn't know this existed, but we have fine Ivy League institutions that teach courses called the Sinatra doctrine, of doing it our way, that we literally live in a culture now where the Sinatra doctrine is taught because we are a people who are being considered as those who want it done our way. All About Me is a book. That's a title of a book, All About Me. You can go on Amazon and get it, and it's actually a book about how to take care of yourself. It's all about you. Today's official mantra for those who study the youth culture, for marketers, and I'm in one of those studies, and you study youth, and now it's become the predominant question is, what's in it for me? What's in it for me is becoming one of the top questions. I have a few parents who are shaking their heads going, oh my goodness, yes, what's in it for me? You know, and so we're in this culture where a management guru, Ken Blanchard, some of you have read Ken Blanchard's books, who's in management. Ken Blanchard's been writing management books for years. He's been studying CEOs, and he's been going talking to corporate boardrooms for years, and he's a management guru. He's been studying all his leadership. He said that now ego is a big word, and he has an acronym for ego, and it means edging God out. Edging God out. He said that's officially become one of his biggest things in dealing with corporate America and management now is ego. You know, all of this egocentricism, all of this Andy Warhol, are all you familiar with the pop artist Andy Warhol? And Andy Warhol said that everybody hopefully would, you know, have 15 minutes of fame. And now that's been topped because now we have all the social media. We have Facebook and we have Twitter and we have YouTube and we have MySpace and the list goes on and Instagram. And we have all these ways that we can get ourselves out there and all the face. And now they say that forget that 15 minutes of fame for everybody. Maybe someday there will just be 15 minutes of regularity for everybody. Maybe everyone can just be regular for 15 minutes, just be normal people. You know, all this egocentricism is an all-time high. The books on narcissism continue to be read, continue to be written, and all this is going on. But the core question still remains the same today that has been through the course in the very beginning of time. And the course of the question is, who am I? Who am I? And so this is a core question. Now, Unconditional, the series, we're dealing with the premise of that there are two huge meta-narrative questions that God asked of mankind from the beginning to the end. Where are you? Where are you? And who are you? And Jesus knows that these are both paramount questions that God asks of us and that form our story with God. And so Jesus addresses the question that we're going to tackle today of, who am I? And so I'm going to invite you to go to your student Bibles right now. And we got these, and we got them back on the racks, and hopefully you've gotten one. I'm going to invite you to turn to Scripture, and we're going to dig into Scripture a little bit because this second question of who am I is the paramount question that Jesus tackles, and he knows is so central and core for us. And so Jesus addresses, and he wants to flush out this question of who am I. And so Matthew chapter 16, and if you go to verses, and we're going to start at verse 13. Verse 13. And Jesus asks this question to his disciples, who am I? And so in verse 13, it's page 1026. 1026, very bottom left paragraph down there. And when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This question of who am I, Jesus, it's picked up then. Go to the next gospel in Mark. So we're going to turn to Mark. And we're going to go to Mark chapter 8, verse 27. Mark 8, 27. It's page 1061. And Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages surrounding Caesarea Philippi. And along the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" And they replied, again, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Now we're going to go to the next gospel, and that's Luke. Same question picked up by this, by a different gospel writer, and this is the book of Luke. And we're going to go to Luke chapter 9. We get to Luke chapter 9, verse 18. It's on page 1095. "Once, when Jesus was praying in private, and his disciples were with him, he asked them, 'Who do the crowd say I am?' And they replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life.' 'But what about you?' he asked. 'Who do you say that I am?' And Peter answered, 'The Christ of God.'" Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all of them record Jesus asking this question. This is of paramount importance for us in studying Scripture. But Luke, but John, the next one, look at John. We're going to go to the book of John now. We're going to go to chapter 1. So all you got to do is find John. Chapter 1. Page 1122. Now John wants to be very clear on who Jesus is. And so let's read together verses 1 through 3. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And through him all things were made. Without him nothing was that has been made." And then go to verse 18 of John chapter 1. And verse 18 says this. "No one who has ever seen God, but God the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." And Jesus wants to ask a question of others. Who am I? It's a second biggest question of who we are. Who are you? Now, this is really interesting that the Greeks use the word for who you are yourself. They use the word persona. But for the Greeks, persona was theatrical, and persona meant that you would have a mask, and you would be in a theatrical performance, and the persona was the mask. And so the real person could be behind the persona, but the focus was on the persona, the mask. But that's not truly who you are, is a mask that you may put on. And so the biblical writers in the Bible, when we deal with person of who are you, the person, biblically speaking, a person is one who does not come in his or her own name. That biblically, a person, who you are, your identity, is one who does not come in his or her own name. Jesus' greatest question was, who do you say that I am? His identity. And Jesus answered this question by saying, this is who I am. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. I do nothing on my own, but I say only what the Father has taught me. Now think about what Jesus is saying and who he is and his identity compared to our modern notions, to today's notions of who we are, of who I am, of who you are. Aren't today's notions about who we are, our identity, isn't that about that you should come in your own name? That you should be your own person? That you should maybe toot your own horn? Isn't that who we perceive and how we think about who we are? But Jesus says, that's not who you are. That shouldn't be who you are. Jesus' most powerful claim as a person was this, was that I came in the name of my Father. I came in the name of my Father. The series Unconditional is talking about God's unconditional love. And only a God who loves us unconditionally could allow us to go wherever we want to go. He allows us to go wherever we want to go. And that's why in Genesis 3:9, it was stated last week, God says, where are you? He's trying to find them because of their own will. They've gone their own path. They've gone to their own hiding place. And God's trying to find them. And the second thing we realize about unconditional love is that if for God to love us unconditionally, he's got to allow us to go where we want to go. And he's also got to allow us to be who we want to be. And so we find that that's the core of unconditional love. And we find that Jesus is saying here is that I have the freedom. I could be whoever I want to be. And who I want to be is I want to be that person who comes in the name of my Father. I was reading and studying this and realize that we have free will. You and I, we have free will. And so we can do what we want to do. And a Christian writer said that our first act of free will, our first autonomous act, is that we need to get over ourselves. Now, Galatians 2:20. I invite you to turn to Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20 is that core scripture that speaks to us this morning, that says to us, if you read it right there in Galatians 2:20, it says, I live, not yet I, but Christ liveth in me. And Christ liveth in me. Now, some of you know the Christian faith. Some of you might still be trying to find your way in the Christian faith. But this central text of Galatians is so important because it tells us so much about the Christian faith that we're called to live in, that we're called to experience. It says that the Christian faith that we're called to is a self-transcending experience of God through Christ by the gift of the Holy Spirit. That Christ lives in us, not I live, but Christ liveth in me. That the Christian faith engages us in disciplines that are not directed towards us discovering ourself, but engage us in disciplines that are about us transcending ourselves. That the Christian faith is about self-transcendence, not self-fulfillment. And that Christianity is more about self-sacrifice than self-fulfillment, that our identity comes from these truths and from this core. Matthew 16:24 is a text, and I turn to it, and a lot of us are going to be reading this text that come Ash Wednesday, and this is a key text of our Lenten journey. But Matthew 16:24 says it so well. And then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his or her life will lose it. But whoever loses her life for me will find it. Matthew 16:24 and 25, that the core of who we are, our identity, that we use our free will, that autonomous act to deny ourselves, to get over ourselves, is the heart of the gospel. Our identity and who we are is this. Our issue is not what do I want, but what is wanted of me. Our issue is not how can you meet my needs, but rather how am I meeting the world's needs? Our issue is not what are my needs, but what is God needing of me? Our issue is not am I on top, but am I on tap? Our issue is not see how special I am, but how great thou art. I'm going to invite the band to come up, and they're going to be coming up, and we're going to be singing a song very shortly as a congregation about our eyes not being on ourselves and not being about ourselves, but about us lifting our eyes to God and it being about him. There's a story told, a great spiritual teacher went to heaven. Great spiritual teacher. He knocks at the gates of paradise And after some time, God comes to answer. And God asks, who is there? And the spiritual teacher says, it is I, with a great amount of confidence. There's a pause. And then God responds, sorry, very sorry. There is no room in heaven. Go away. You will have to come back another time. So the great spiritual teacher, he goes away for some time. And he does some prayer and meditation, and he tries to seek that the right heart. And so he goes back to the gates of heaven, and again, he knocks. And again, there's a pause, and the repeated question comes, and the repeated answer. But this time, instead of saying, it is I, that the spiritual teacher does it more humbly and says, it is I. And it's the same response. And so the spiritual teacher goes off, and he spends now years and years in contemplation trying to think about, man, what if? So he comes back, and he goes back to the gates of heaven, and he knocks, and there's a pause, and God asks again, who is there? And this time the man's answer was, thou art. Thou art. And the gate opens wide, and God says, come in, because there was never room for me and thee.
Understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Worship today with us.
To the mountains, where does my help come from? My help comes from you, maker of heaven, creator of the earth.
Oh,
does my help come from? My help comes from you, maker of heaven, creator of the
So what would our identity, how would it look different for us to answer the question of who am I? If we stopped trying to create an identity for ourselves, if we stopped trying to buy an identity for ourselves, if we realized that our identity and who we truly are and who we're called to be is right there. It's the cross. That our identity comes from Him, that He is our identity. And our relationship with God, their identity comes from Him. Their identity comes from them. The early church and the early Christians, they forwent their personal names and they just wanted to be called Christians. Brother and sister, but Christians. That was the greatest compliment that they could be paid, that you could know them, not just as a Christian. Somebody who followed Jesus Christ, that their identity was in the name Christian. What would it look like for us? That was just truly who we are. It's just those who find their identity in Jesus Christ and laying down our lives for Him. When are you least Christian? When it's all about you. And when are you most Christian? When it's about God and others. Will you stand with me this morning? Dear God, we just come to you. And sometimes we get sidetracked, and sometimes we try to build our identity and create it, and sometimes we just get lost. To help us to know, and your unconditional love, to help us to know that our identity is in Jesus Christ. Yet not we live, but Jesus Christ lives in us. And the greatest compliment, the greatest contribution, the greatest thing that we could be known as and for that our identity is a Christian. So may we live out that identity. May it be said of us when it's asked, who are they? Who is this person? May it be said, he or she is a Christian. We love you and we thank you for your love. Thank you for the identity you've given us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's go forward. Let's go forward being those who He's called us to be. Let's be Christian.